Thank you, Lois. Now, back again to Mother's Day. Today is a day to honor mothers. My mind was drawn to this passage in 2 Timothy when Paul writes to his friend Timothy. And the books of 1 and 2 Timothy are probably some of the most personal of all of the books and the epistles that Paul wrote, because they were written to a specific individual who was very, very special to Paul. Timothy was from Lystra. We don't know how his family came to faith, but Paul had gone there in his first missionary journey. It's recorded back in the book of Acts. And either he was discovered or he made a conversion there or whatever happened, but Paul was immediately drawn to this young man, Timothy. He might have just been a teenager, just a young man when Paul first met him. But Paul saw in him something very, very special. And Paul notes that at the beginning of this second letter to Timothy. I think that relationship between Paul and Timothy really is something to be noted, because Paul was not an easy person to get along with. And yet, Timothy and Paul were lifelong friends. Paul was like a mentor to Timothy, and he worked with him in many situations. Paul sent him as an emissary to some churches when he had a special message. And Paul appointed Timothy to be the pastor, the church leader, at the church in Ephesus. Now, we know about some of that from the writings in the book of the Ephesians, the letter to Ephesus. But Timothy was probably the pastor at that church. And this was a major city and a major church. Ephesus was sort of the hub from which other persons were sent out to evangelize Asia Minor. They were a sending church. They were a supporting church. They were a very central church to the ministry and the spread of the gospel throughout Asia Minor. And Timothy was at the very heart of all of that. And yet, Timothy was a very young man and was looked down upon by many people who were older because they said, he's too young. He doesn't know what he's doing. But Paul saw character traits and a sense of faith in Timothy that was remarkable. And that's why he notes in the beginning of this book that Todd read in the portion there, Paul said to him, I am eager to see you again. Now, Paul was probably in prison in Rome. And there are other inferences throughout the book of 2 Timothy that it came late in Paul's life. Paul knew he was soon probably going to be facing execution. And according to all the records that we have, was executed by Nero soon after he wrote this last letter to Timothy. So there was a lot of intimate kind of personal relationship kinds of things going on. And Paul saw Timothy as a very, very key person in his life and in the life of the early church. But isn't it interesting that Paul says, some of these traits that I note in you, such as courage, confidence, power, and love, and self-discipline, these are all important traits in any leader, but Paul saw them specifically in Timothy, and it comes right after that passage where he said, you get your faith primarily from your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. You see, they were in the middle of a really strong male-dominated world. And as a matter of fact, Paul didn't really have such a very high view of women himself in many cases. But he noted that in Timothy's life, these two women, grandmother and mother, had significant influence on him. There were many other influences, I'm sure, things that made Timothy who he really was. But very central to all of that was the influence of his mother and his grandmother. And so that inspires me today to say that the central part of my message to mothers today is you do matter. You do matter in the lives of your children. Not all of us as women have had the privilege or will have the privilege of biologically being a mother. That does not stop you, however, from being a significant mother influence in many people's lives. And many of you whom I have been learning to know in the last few months are prime examples of that. But I would like to give honor today to a very special person in my life, my Aunt Mariella Sainer, whom I saw just a couple of weeks ago. We were back to Pennsylvania for a bicentennial celebration at the Lost Creek Mennonite Church. And my Aunt Mariella, 95 years old nearly, was able to be there. They had to bring her in a special van and a wheelchair and so forth. She doesn't get out much. She's pretty much confined to her room in her wheelchair. But she was there that day because she said, "I want to hear Andy preach." Now, I think I've shared with you before that my birth mother died when I was only 5 weeks old. After that, and my father was, I was the first and only child from that relationship, and he was lost. He didn't know what to do. Here he had this little five-week-old son. He was totally lost. He later has said that he then went into a time of extended chronic depression. He didn't call it that. He didn't use those words, but I realize now that's what it was. But my Aunt Mariella and my Aunt Ruth and my grandmother Phoebe Sainer, who were living together, invited my father to bring me and to live with them for the foreseeable future. And for that first 6 years of my life, my father remarried then when I was 6 years old. For that first very formative 6 years of my life, my Aunt Mariella had a major, major influence on me. She was never married. She never had biological children, but she is my mom. And so I want today to honor her and publicly declare that she had a major, major influence on my life for those first 6 years. And may I say, I think in many ways it might have been like the influence that Eunice had as Timothy's mother as well. And a couple areas to just keep in mind. Number one, mothers, you are a major, major influence on your children's faith and values. We talk about fathers' influence, and fathers do have a major influence, but fathers are more like, well, we like to talk and we like to speak, and we like to do things that way. Just ask my girls. They always said I'm pretty good at preaching sermons, not only at church, but also at home. I talked too much, but I thought, like most well-meaning fathers, we need to tell our children, we need to teach them. And so in the middle of my preaching my sermons over and over again, one time Amy interrupted, "Dad, time out. Sermon number 25. I said, "Okay, if you know sermon number 25, then finish it." And she did. But children learn the essence of love and faith. The children here were singing about it today, and the songs that Leanne led us in our worship time. Children learn that sense of love and acceptance and faith most often from the mother. Yes, they might learn ideas, and they might learn things like discipline and so forth from dad, but they learn some of the key essentials of faith and the values for life. They learn it from mom. You've all seen programs, I'm sure, of hardened criminals and people who have gone the wrong direction in life. And yet, when confronted, they will admit they have a very soft and tender spot for their mom, who had a positive influence on them. Now, may I also make a disclaimer, that's not true in all cases. Sometimes, moms, mothers have not been a good influence in children's lives. But by and large, we learn these things from our mom, from our mothers, from the significant women in our lives. There was one other very influential woman in my life. Her name is Mrs. Lehman. She was our senior speech teacher in high school. In high school, I was a person who had very, very low self-esteem. I didn't think I could do anything. I was just totally bound by my own fear. You talk about Paul's message to Timothy, we are not given the spirit of timidity or fear. Well, I was wrapped up in very low self-esteem and fear. But Mrs. Lehman saw in me some traits, some gifts, some abilities. And I remember clearly the day she said to me, Andy, and I think I told this story before, but many of you may not remember it. She said, Andy, you ought to be a pastor. You have the ability to stand up in front of people and to talk and to share. No one had ever told me that before. That awakened something in me that I think God has used at a later time to bring to fruition in my life. But secondly, mothers, you are important in developing character traits in your children, personality traits, some of the things that are going to enable them to go places in life, to do what they want to, are going to be able to do. I thank Mrs. Lehman for giving that gift to me. She also was a woman who was, all of the students she had were her children because she never had biological children of her own. But she was a wonderful person and a gift not only to me but to many others. You see, I think Lois and Eunice were significant persons in Timothy's life to help him to understand the abilities that God had given him and that God could use later in his life. And so oftentimes, as parents, but particularly as mothers, you have so much to do in our lives, so much influence in shaping us and forming us into the persons that we can become, healthy personalities that give us good mental and emotional health and prepare us for serving God. Because I am convinced that when we have a poor sense of self and our poor self-esteem, we limit ourselves in our ability to serve God. Our lives are too often dominated by fear and the things that hem us in and confine us. But Paul said in that famous line, we are not given the spirit of timidity, but of power, courage, confidence, and of love and self-discipline. So I think that's the way that ties it together for me today, and I give honor to some of those significant women in my life. But I've also opened it up for some of you to give a response in honoring your mother. So those of you who have said you would do that, please come forward here and we will share a little bit about our honor or tribute that we want to give to our mom. You know who you are, Brenda. Please come. You go ahead. Just briefly. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
My mom passed away 4 days after her 100th birthday on November 1st of last year. We had a party for her 2 days before that, before her birthday, and most of her family were there. She couldn't remember much of anything anymore, but we kept reminding her that her family would be here for that day, and we believe that she held on long enough to see everyone. She also thought it'd be pretty cool to make it to 100, although she'd been ready to go for quite a while. Mom's special gift was hospitality. She always had an extra bed and a place at the table for missionaries or choir groups that visited the church. She invited single staff that worked at Adriel School for dinner frequently. That's how Merle and I met 47 years ago. Mom grew up during the Depression, so she was extremely frugal. She saved and reused everything. Nothing was wasted at our house. She recycled before it was popular. Another of her attributes was her servant's heart. She always asked if she could do anything for us when we were working and raising our families. She was very humble and often did jobs that she didn't feel adequate for because no one else would do them. She spent her life loving and serving others.
When you're talking about your mom, you could go on and on, and Andy just told me to be brief, so I'll try to do that if I can. My mom was a nurse. She was a nurse for 40 years. She worked in the public schools as a school nurse. Excuse me. She was a private nurse, and she also worked as a nurse in the doctor's office, and she worked with five different doctors. And when she was with the fifth doctor, she said, "I'm getting tired of this. I can't take it anymore." And that didn't sound like Mom. I said, "You know, don't you like the doctor?" She said, "No, I like the doctor and I like the patients." She said, "They're trying to make me use a computer." "And I won't do it." She was frugal, like, I guess her mom was a nurse too. So they grew up in the Depression. My grandparents saved everything. They never threw anything away. They would fix it. If something broke, they would fix it. If it broke and they couldn't fix it, they would keep it anyway because they thought maybe they could have a use for it. Well, Mom did the same thing when we were growing up. My brother and I, she gave my brother and I this little game. It was a rubber ball that was mounted to a rubber string, and it was fastened to a little paddle. It looked like a ping pong paddle, and we'd sit there and bounce that thing up in the air, and it was kind of fun. It was kind of like an early computer, I guess, a little computer game or something. And we would play with that thing, and you count how many times you would do it, and finally the ball broke. The ball went off, the rubber band came away, and all that was left was the paddle. We couldn't use that. Mom found a use for it. Right there. We finally hit it, and it drove her nuts because she couldn't find it, and we heard the phrase, "Wait till your father gets home." She was never afraid to say what was on her mind. If she didn't like something, she would tell us. And it didn't bother her a bit. She said, "If you don't like what I'm saying, it's not my fault." And she also would give pastors a hard time too. If she didn't like what they were doing, she wouldn't be afraid to tell them. And I used to say, "Mom, you can't talk to a pastor like that. They're kind of sensitive." I said, "They might take it the wrong way." And she would say, "Well, if they're not doing it the right way, somebody has to tell them."
Yeah, right.
Okay. But she was always, said it in a nice way. She almost left you speechless after she was done telling you what you were doing wrong. I won't go too far, but I got another story I'd like to tell anyway. We used to talk on the phone all the time. Every Sunday she would call or I would call. And she said, "I got stopped for speeding." I said, "Speeding? What were you doing?" I said, did you get a ticket? How much was your ticket?" She said, "Well, he didn't give me a ticket." I said, "How did you get by with that?" And she acted like she was really proud that she got this, got stopped for speeding. And she said, "Well, this policeman followed me from that to go through town. It's about 2 miles to get through town. He's had his flashing lights on when she started in and followed her all the way through town." And she said, I thought he wanted to get past me. So I was trying to get out of the way." So she said, "Finally, I pulled over and stopped, and he came up to the window, and he said, 'Ma'am, did you know what you were doing?' And she said, 'Why, did you forget?'" I said, "Well, what did he say then?" She said, "I don't know. He was so quiet, he didn't say anything." And she said, "Finally, he said, 'Ma'am, you were going 45 in a 25. Please don't do that again.'" But Mom was one that showed my brother and sister and I how to put our faith in a God that wasn't real to us. When we were younger, we hadn't had a personal relationship with God. She was the one that, this story could go long too.
Keep it short.
It was after my sophomore year in college. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I wanted to go back to college in the fall. They didn't have the major I wanted. Or should I go voluntary service? It was during the Vietnam War, so if you didn't go to college, you were drafted. And I told Mom, I said, "I'm not sure what I want to do." And she said, "Well, pray about it." I said, "Okay, I'll try." And prayer hadn't worked for me earlier. I won't go into that story. But she had she was in nurse's training with two sisters who they would contact each other during the, sometime during the week. One would call one would call the other, and they'd find out how the families were doing. And one of them had a son who worked at Adriel School. And I was looking for a place to do voluntary service. Mom got all excited about this. "Well, let's go out and see this place." So we drove out to Adriel, and I really wasn't too impressed with the place. The buildings were really bad. If you see them now, they looked worse then. The staff and the students, when we got there, they had just let the classes out, and all these kids and staff were running around the hall. It looked like mass confusion. I don't remember seeing Doris there, but she was working there at the time. I had no desire to work at this place, and I was pretty sure about it before I left there that I was not going back to this school. I didn't tell Mom that. I was afraid she'd be angry with me. As we were coming down the front drive, there was a sign at the bottom of the hill that had Adriel School, "Visit us again." I said to myself, "I'll never see that sign again." So I get home, and I pretty much decided not to go, and Mom said, "Pray about it. You know, God gives you the answer." I said, "Well, I didn't tell her I wasn't going to go," but about 2 weeks before I was going back to college, I decided that maybe that's the place I should be. And Mom was right. God answers prayer. The first day that I worked at Adriel School, he answered that prayer. My job was to be work maintenance from 11 to 2:30. Actually, Daryl King was there at the time. I don't know if he remembers this or not. And from 2:30 to 8, I was to work with kids and doing recreation. I met with maintenance guys, and they asked me, "What can you do?" So I didn't know anything about farming. I couldn't do that. I never used power tools in my life, so I couldn't do that. And I never repaired anything, so they were kind of lost at what to have me do. They said, "Well, can you paint?" I said, "Well, I can paint, you know." So the first job I had was to repaint that sign at the bottom of the hill.
Thank you, Merle. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I get my thoughts down on paper, so I won't read this whole thing to try to keep it short. But I want to honor my mom, Joanne Yoder, And my first memories with my mom are of cooking in the kitchen. I would push a stool up, or mom would push a stool up to the counter, and I would help pour flour into the sifter. That kind of shows how old I am, too. We used a sifter back then. I don't even see one anymore. But there usually was more flour on me and the counter than there was in the sifter. But that's part of what made it fun. But as years went by, I remember helping mom with potting the peas and stemming the green beans and making applesauce. I remember we used to grind meat, and I'm not even sure what we did that for, but I just remember doing it, and it was fun. My dad told a story that I don't remember this, but I guess I used to help out mom by making sure my brother's teeth were brushed. I would brush mine and then brush his with my toothbrush. So just trying to help out. I think I was a pretty good girl, but like Merle mentioned, I did sometimes hear that just wait till your father gets home, which was the worst because dad was out choring. So I would be up in my bedroom listening for him to be done out in the barn and listen for everything to shut down and the lights to turn off, and then watched as dad walked across the driveway and into the house, and just dreading hearing mom and dad talking downstairs and then the call for me to come downstairs. So anyways, I think it was worse waiting for the punishment than the actual punishment itself. But mom supported and encouraged me so much my moody teenage years and went off to college. And I remember mom sending, we shared a lot of our clothes because we were the same size. And I remember her sending some of our favorites with me so that I could have them. And then years later, I did the same when Sarah went to school because we shared a lot of clothes. So things have a way of going full circle as we shared with one another. But that was just my mom just always wanting to give to me. While I was in college, I was guaranteed at least a letter every week, because mom was very faithful in writing letters to me, because this, of course, was before email and the internet and cell phones. I would call them once a week from the payphone on the first floor of the dorm. Great memories, and I appreciated mom's letters faithfully so much. When Keith and I were first married, I am not sure how I would have made it through becoming a mom for the first time. We were living in Pennsylvania. We were first married, and then we moved to Ohio. And I'm so glad that mom was close by when I became a mom for the first time to Amber, because all the questions that I had, that who better to answer those questions than my mom? I'll put on my glasses now, because for all the many ways you have sacrificed your time, energy, and resources to love on Tim and I and our families, I thank you, Mama, and I'm so grateful to God for every day that I have you just 2 miles down the road. I love you so much.
Thanks, Brenda.
I'll read my notes quickly for time's sake. So my mom is Tammy Smith, and people tell me I look like my mom, and I usually say, well, thank you, because I think she's a very beautiful lady. And I think that is because her beauty radiates from her very kind-hearted spirit within. So some of the traits that stand out to me about my mom, I'm just going to share about really quickly. One is that she has a love for birthdays. And so she's always made the most out of birthdays, always for others, you know, not for herself. But I think that this, even now, like how old I am now, she still does the streamers and the cake and the party favors and the enthusiasm. And I think that these are very tangible expressions of her deep love for the individual, and that she's celebrating that she gets to share life with this individual. And so her joy for birthdays models for me the profound love that God has in naming each of us as his child. And so just the other day, I was talking with Alex about this other trait that stands out to me, and that's why I felt convicted to share today. But that my mom is really good about meeting your passion wherever it's at. And so passions can be negatively and positively charged. So when you're like outraged about some injustice at work or something that your friend said that hurt your feelings, she is right there in it with you, and she will validate those feelings all day long. And then when you're like done, she's just as done. And so if you ever need somebody to talk to that'll just listen and not try to fix things, I'd be happy to share my mom's info, because everybody deserves to have that. But just as much with the negatively charged, she's even more like positively charged about your passions. So whatever it is that you're excited about, she's excited about. So whether it's band and high school or the college that I went to or the friends that I've made that she's welcomed as part of our family. And even when we decided to be part of this church family, my mom has always been, let's go, we're in this together. And I think that that's something that I've taken for granted at times. So she's always affirmed me and she's never doubted me and she's one of my best friends, which means that we don't not have conflict as best friends. And the thing that I appreciate about our conflict is that it's just that. It's just something that has to be resolved. And I think that that's an example of any true relationship worth having, is that you can get to the other side of those things. And so one day when Rivers and I disagree about stuff, if Rivers knows that I'm still going to be over the moon about her birthday and I'm going to be excited about whatever it is that she's into, then I know that I've done something right. So thanks, Mom, for being in it with me.
Okay. Thank you.
We're up here to honor our mom, Margaret Hager. She has always supported us no matter what venture
we are going through. This moves, watch out. We are going through, whether it was when we were kids and making our own Barbie clothes, our extracurriculars, when we were in school, and now with our coffee shop. Mom has always been there encouraging us and also telling us to follow our dreams. We learned from her example that we should pursue what we are passionate about, even if it doesn't make the most sense on paper.
So in our opinion, she is the greatest mom in the world. She is always there with a cup of tea, a listening ear, and a hug, no matter if it's exciting or sad or scary or fantastic. So thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you for sharing, and we do honor moms today. We also have the privilege today of giving a blessing to Ramon and Carmen. So, Pastor Dick, would you please come and lead us in this next part of our service here today, please? Welcome back, Pastor Dick.